Hello, my dear audience. I'm Peter Resnick, and welcome to the Dr. Peter Resnick Toolbox. And here we are together again. Thank you very much to those of you who wrote to me with your comments about the last show on stress and your suggestions for the shows yet to come. I am putting all your suggestions together and organizing my shows in the order that you suggested. That is why today I'm going to speak about their addictions. Night dreams, stress, addictions, face reading, depression, weight loss, moral and spiritual issues. This was the hierarchy of priorities most of you who wrote to me chose. I already covered the night dreams and the stress. Today I'm talking about the addictions, and the next time I will have a show all to myself. I will be talking about the face reading, but that will be in 3 weeks, because the following 2 weeks I will have two very special guests. The next week, February 9th, I will have here on the show Dr. Peter Breggin. Probably many of you know of him, but those of you who don't, I am very excited to introduce him to you. Dr. Breggin is a psychiatrist who was one of the very first people who spoke up against what is called today biological psychiatry, which totally dominates now the field of psychiatry. Some 40 years ago, he started his fight against psychiatric methods, which harm more than help. And 30 years ago, he wrote a book, Toxic Psychiatry, which when I found this book, opened my eyes to what was going on here in America with psychiatry. I think by now, altogether, he wrote 19 or 20 books. Though I met Dr. Breggin only 3 weeks ago when he invited me to talk about my work on his show, I consider him to be one of my teachers, whose books educated and inspired me to stay on the path that I am right now on today. All right, let's start with the subject of today, addictions. I will be talking not only about addictions to substances, but also addictions to thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Will you be able to snap out of your addiction if you are addicted to something right after this show? I don't know, frankly. But I do intend to give you a roadmap to follow and some tools to use, at least to start your journey if you're serious about it. As always, I feel like I want your feedback. I'm looking forward to it. Please feel free to call me anytime during the show. I will be happy to hear your comments and your questions and answer your questions to the best of my ability. The number to call is 888-874-4888. Again, 888-874-4888. And if you want to email me, my email address is drpeterresnick@gmail.com. And my website address is drpeterresnick.com. Over 2,500 years ago, the Buddha said, "We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we create the world." And the ancient Chinese proverb states, "Watch your thoughts, they become your feelings. Watch your feelings, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny." Whether it is a habitual impulse to anger or feeling of insecurity, whether it is excessive alcohol drinking or overeating, any addictive pattern begins with a thought. Even a craving for a cigarette begins with the awareness of something missing. When people are struggling with addictions, they may feel stuck and unable to free themselves from this habitual feeling or compulsive behavior, despite the physical, psychological or social harm that results. The work of becoming addiction-free is not just about giving up the substance or behavior. It is a journey about becoming your own authority, becoming a master of what thoughts you breathe life into. Whether you are struggling with dysfunctional thoughts, destructive behavior, or dependence on a substance, you can become addiction-free. Is it easy? I cannot tell you. It all depends on where you are with your addiction, how addicted you are, how long the addiction has been part of your life, and how committed you are, frankly, how committed you are to do the work. It's not a simple work, but with your commitment and deliberate actions, not fast actions, but deliberate step after step actions, you can make it happen. I do not subscribe to the notion that the addiction, let's say to alcohol, is a disease. I know there is a disease model of alcoholism. I think that addiction to alcohol is no more disease than an addiction to sugar. It may be more or less damaging than sugar, depending on the quantity of the consumption. But so are many foods and many behaviors. They all change the brain chemistry. They all, as reinforced, become very difficult to break. But they all start with using the substance or behavioral pattern for something. And after a while, in the mind, it becomes an associative pattern. In the body, it becomes tolerance. Cancer, diabetes, asthma are diseases. Addiction can be stopped. It is no more a disease than when a person, for example, and they're given it after antidepressant. Okay? The loss did not create in them a Prozac deficiency syndrome or a sudden need for cocaine or alcohol or cookies for that matter. They chose to use medication or an illegal drug or sweets to numb their pain. And very soon the body developed tolerance to that substance, whatever they used. Or the subconscious mind became ingrained with the habitual pattern if it was some emotional or behavioral reaction to some stimulus from the environment. And once they became ingrained in you, whether it's tolerance or subconscious pattern, they both talk to you, do it again, either through physical craving or uncontrollable emotional impulse. So I want to repeat, those addicted are not, I believe, are not victims of the disease. An addiction is a pattern of choices that people made till the time came. In the beginning, it was just choices, just like, you know, people smoke a joint or get angry and allow themselves to burst into anger, to spill it on other people. And then, after doing it for a while, the time came when making choices different from those that they were making before became more and more difficult. It has something to do with what they call today neuroplasticity. I'm not a specialist on the subject. I actually invited a neurologist to talk about neuroplasticity, and he will be, or actually two neurologists, they will be with us in April. But I want you to know, no matter how your brain is patterned, or maybe it's not the right word, how it got stuck on a habitual pattern, whether it's physical or mental, emotional, people do become free of addictions. You know that. It is true. It can be done. It does take time and effort. Remember, drug addicts are not poor, sick victims of their addiction who are self-destructive. Very often people speak about, oh, this person is so self-destructive. with addiction, people don't get hooked up on some substance because they're self-destructive. If they were self-destructive, they would find a quick way to kill themselves. Their behavior is indeed destructive toward themselves and others, but they do it because it feels good at the moment, or it makes them feel better, at least for some time. So, but if they're doing it, they are not choosing to kill themselves. Because if they would choose to kill themselves, they would do that. So they're doing it because it serves some purpose. So my observation is there are many reasons, but there are two main reasons for addiction. One, it's an impulse to intoxication. By the way, it's encouraged in our society. There is no moderation. We are bombarded by the media, by promotion for more, better, and different, a new television, a new car. We are hypnotized to pursue yet another experience from childhood. And remember, something came to my mind now. There was actually, I don't know if you remember it, it was a while ago, there was this commercial. They advertised, I think it was some kind of Jell-O, ice cream, whatever. A young, attractive woman is finishing a whole container of something, and she says, "I ate all frozen glaze." And then there is a voice of a narrator saying, "Enjoy the guilt." What does it mean? What are people taught? Look, eat yourself into oblivion, eat that whole container and enjoy it. You see? And when these suggestions are repeated over and over again, even if people don't, okay, this is a commercial, I'm not watching, it does go into their subconscious mind. And then when something comes up and there is a struggle, do I do it or I don't do it? The inside, the voice, the subconscious mind is, of course, do it. This is yet another good experience. I don't know anyone who started using heroin as the first thing that they tried of illegal drugs. First, it was marijuana. And then, somebody suggested, hey, try this, it feels good. And then they went to do something like Oxycontin. And then Oxycontin is too expensive. If you use just a little bit of heroin, it will do even more good for you. Just try it. And that's how people get hooked up, hooked on it. And then once it became a dependence, it's a very, very difficult dependence to break. I remember I was in my living room one time with a neighbor years ago, many years ago actually, who was addicted to drugs. And he knew what I was doing. And he came to talk to me about the problem. And he told me he didn't want to give up drugs altogether because it was so much fun, but he wanted to learn how to control it. And I just realized it was exactly 32 years ago. It's funny that it came now to my mind. How do I know that it was 32 years ago? My nephew Oleg that year came to America and lived with me for a while. And I gave him a very interesting book on spirituality to read. And there I was sitting with this drug-addicted neighbor in my living room when suddenly Oleg stormed into the room and walking back and forth started telling me about this incredible insights that he got from the book, and then without even waiting for my comments walked out. And then the neighbor looked at me and said, "Peter, it looks like this guy is high, not me." And I said, "Listen, he is high, but his high will become a part of him, enrich his life, make it fuller, more meaningful. Your high will leave you empty mentally and emotionally, as well as physically." And honestly, that's exactly what happened. Oleg now is an extraordinary physician, and the other one went through a lot of pain and inflicting pain on others, till he fortunately straightened out and finally found his way. So if you got hooked on drugs because it felt good, first and foremost, you need to recognize that it was the wrong choice that you made. And decide that now you're willing to pay the price, no matter how high the price is. Life of meaning is a great reward at the end. Life of meaning, real life, with real people, not some euphoric state or I don't even know what to say, because I'm frankly, I was never addicted to drugs. But I spoke to so many people who were, and I don't know if anyone, I don't remember if anyone ever said to me, you know, it was such a good choice. I had so many years of goodness, of good life. No, everyone said, what a mistake, how many years I wasted. And I actually remember some people were addicted for decades. And now what it comes to my mind, you know, one man said, you know, yesterday I was 25, today I'm 50. Where did these years go? I will talk to you about steps to make on your journey of becoming free later. This is just, you know, the first step I'm talking about, becoming aware and agreeing, admitting to yourself that you made a choice and it was not a good choice. And again, I'm talking about not just physical addiction, but if you got sucked into being combative, arguing. So many relationships break up just because one person, and sometimes both, are totally addicted to being right. This addiction to being right, or addiction to allowing this impulse of anger to spill on the other person. So many relationships, so many marriages fall apart. We'll get to it. But now, so I mentioned to you one reason for the addiction. And now yet there is another main reason for addiction. It's called denial or emotional numbing. It can be emotional numbing with anger, self-righteousness, or being controlling, or wanting, or not knowing how to take responsibility in a relationship with yourself or others, or being afraid of acting. So this is all, whatever I listed, is numbing yourself. Whatever addiction you choose, numbing yourself from dealing with real issues. If you are bursting in anger, you're not discussing anything. You're not resolving anything. You just interrupt your conversation. So then there is a physical numbing. Again, denial of dealing with the real issue. And that is can be done with drugs, with food, with alcohol. A Swiss psychiatrist, Carl Jung, said in the beginning of 20th century, neurosis is always a substitute for legitimate suffering. How profound it is, huh? You try to avoid one problem and escape from doing something to distract your attention, you begin to do something else that creates even a bigger problem. What comes to my mind now is I saw a man. I remember he came. He knew I was doing hypnosis, and he said, "Listen, I don't want any psychotherapy. I had enough psychotherapy in my life. I know you do hypnosis. I want you to hypnotize me. I need to lose 25 to 30 pounds. Can you hypnotize me and can I lose weight?" I said, "Well, I've been successful helping people to lose weight. If you don't want to talk about anything, so tell me, what are your eating patterns?" We discussed a little bit. It was, he made an appointment, in fact, for 2 hours, and it was to be one session. He did not want psychotherapy. So we have a session, I hypnotize him, and I have to say, you know, I used to do weight control group sessions in New York Hilton, in New York City, with large groups of people, and it was quite successful. But for those people who didn't carry heavy psychological weight, which this guy did, because it works only if you have a bad habit. But so this guy, yeah, hypnotized him. Then he calls me in 2 weeks and says, you know, I actually gained 5 pounds. I know that hypnosis will work or won't. Even if it doesn't work, so nothing changes. And here he gained more weight. So I said, listen, if you want, come in, come for an hour, we'll talk. And, you know, I said the shortest distance, Greeks said, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. You were right. You were right till proven wrong. So you were right trying not to go into much talk, not to discuss any issues. If you were convinced that there is nothing there, but just bad eating habit. And it was supposed to work, because the reason you were here, you came to see me because it worked for somebody. But now it doesn't work. And the strange thing is that you actually gained weight, which tells me that somehow subconsciously you knew that hypnosis may work, and you needed to fight it, not to succeed. So he said, no, I absolutely have to lose weight. I'm telling you, it's the only thing that keeps me from getting divorced. You know, really, I want to go, quote, on the market. I want to meet another woman. I'm sick and tired of my marriage. So I want to lose weight, and then I will get divorced. And of course, you understand, you don't need to be a psychologist to understand that he was absolutely terrified of getting that divorce, of starting the whole procedure of letting his wife know that he's not happy, hasn't been happy for many years, and so on. He kept it all inside. And even though consciously he said, I want to lose weight and move on, deep inside he was terrified. And so he needed to sabotage his success. So there is this, that's an example of denial. Denial of what? Denial of real issue. Denial of his problem, in marriage, because that's, he didn't deny to himself, but the denial of the fear that he had to start dealing with it. And so that food addiction was that, remember Carl Jung said neurosis is a substitute for legitimate suffering. So that food addiction was his denial of legitimate suffering, of dealing with the problem of confronting his wife and saying goodbye and starting the divorce procedure. And by denying that, he inflicted a not a bigger problem, but as much of a problem as gaining weight and not being able to lose it. So the first thing is to become clear about what is it that whatever problem you have, whatever addiction you have, what purpose it serves. Okay, now, what do you think is the biggest addiction of our times? I remember it was, I don't know, 20 or 25 years ago, everybody spoke about, what was it, crack cocaine. I gave you time to think, what's the big addiction? You may not guess. Number one addiction is not illegal drugs. Number one addiction is internet porn, and that's among men. What can I tell you about this addiction? God bless these guys who created this wonderful website. And if you're addicted to porn, I very much recommend that you go on this website that is called yourbrainonporn.com. It's fantastic. It tells you all about this addiction, and it tells you how much it affects you. By the way, you become, they claim, and I heard it from patients I've seen, a man becomes 100% impotent, 100% of the time. Everyone who gets addicted to internet porn become impotent to what? Not to sitting in front of the computer and watching and doing whatever they're doing, but impotent in their relationship with the woman, because it's whole totally different experience. A real experience, it's a full sensory experience. It's a, I will not talk about it. Anyway, you know, it's on every level, physical, mental, emotional, every sense is involved, and love, hopefully. But what is internet porn? You watch, it's only images that blink in front of your eyes. So you get addicted to yet another image. Most people who are addicted to porn, when I ask, they're not addicted to one particular image. It's always new images, new images. But now, why I said that it may be a denial, the addiction is denial. This is perfect. Yes, it's both. Maybe addiction of because of greed, impulse, that is intoxication. And it's funny because on this website, Your Brain on Porn, they show an ape, not ape, a chimpanzee. And apparently, chimpanzee males like to look at butts of chimpanzee females, and they put a screen, television screen, and the chimpanzee could press the lever, and the new image of a female species comes out. And apparently, they showed that the little poor guy was pressing on this to see the images of these females. Didn't eat, didn't drink, and kept pressing till he collapsed, fainted. That's what happens. That's so much true probably about men also. Not maybe to this degree, but it's very unhealthy. So, but you have to recognize, if you addicted to porn, it is a denial of something. Maybe of having sexual problems, or having a relationship problem, or being not satisfied in your relationship. So you have to figure out what is it that is not working with you, for you, that you have to be to go for this artificial fix. So what's number two addiction? That's immediate gratification, satisfying one's senses, whether it's smoking, food, drugs, shopping. Food is good. Food is wonderful. It's delicious. It's can be nutritional, but having too much, or too heavy eating food that is not good for you, not being able to stop your impulse to have to enjoyment for something, even though you're not supposed to. That's a big problem. By the way, there was a study done. I'm not sure what university. It comes to me, Rochester University, but I'm not certain that it's. That's really Rochester. But they did a study with chocolate chip cookies. If somebody now is listening and recognizes, remembers this study, please call me and let me know. I think it's Rochester. They took these kids, three-year-old kids, a bunch of kids, and one by one, they put them in the room with cookies, chocolate chip cookies, and they told each child, you can have, and they made sure that the children already could see, could understand whether it's 5 minutes passes or 10 minutes passes. They could watch the hand of the clock. And they were told, look, if you permit yourself to have a cookie right away, you can have only one cookie. But if you wait till the hand, the big hand, goes to, which was 10 minutes, that is delayed gratification, then you can have two cookies. And so it was one after the other. I don't remember how many kids they exposed to this torture. But then they followed these kids, I think, till graduation in high school. And what they found is those kids who could delay gratification for bigger reward did much better in school, did much, much better in athletics, and graduated, and much higher amount of them, of those who managed to delay gratification, went to colleges. Isn't it interesting? So mastering your delayed gratification or even being able to say no is super important, not only for your physical well-being, but for your success in life. And number three addiction is being it's a relationship addiction, and it's not an addiction to a relationship, but the addiction to being right in the relationship. There are actually two. One is to be addiction to being right, that is to make your point. You have to have the last word. And another one is addiction. They're equally as prevalent as a problem in the relationship, but addiction to anger. By the way, anger is not the primary emotion. People think of it, yes, it's a natural impulse, but it's not. Anger is a consequence of judgment. I spoke about the judgment last week. If you're interested, you can think about it. So to overcome an addiction to anger, you need to work on judgment and arrogance as well. And you need to practice your will. Because even if you decide to not judge and let go of anger, you need a strong will to implement your decision. Then there are also addictions to negativity. And I spoke about it also, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago when I spoke about the debater. And if you don't remember or you don't want to look to listen to the whole show, you can go on my website, drpeterresnick.com, and find under articles, the article Beating the Unbeatable. I talk about it. And I think it's very, I don't think actually it's been my experience. A lot of people told me that it was very instrumental in helping them to overcome the addiction to negativity. Then there is another addiction, and that is addiction to lying. That addiction, overcoming that addiction, requires a lot of vigilance. You have to become aware of it. There is a technique called being the witness, and that is, in order to stop lying, you first don't even try to stop. Simply, if you notice yourself lying, you catch yourself usually after you've done it, you simply say to yourself mentally, here goes Steve, here goes Peter lying. No judgment, just awareness. You remember, you cannot disown something you don't own. First, you become completely aware of what you're doing. And then you will be able to notice it sooner and sooner. And at the time will come, you will be able to say, oops, here I go about to lie, but I choose not to. I want to tell you, most people could stop their addictions if the price were too high to pay. Let's say a person is very lazy. He or she is addicted to just doing nothing. You know, they're complacent or they're in a state of apathy. But let's say the person like this is lying in bed, doesn't want to get out of bed. And suddenly, and let's say he's on first or second floor, and his friends are saying, hey, you know, you have to get up, you do something for yourself. No, I don't feel like that. Or even a person says, I'm depressed, I don't feel like getting out of bed. And then suddenly he or she smells smoke. They open the door, there is a fire in the hallway. What do you think this person will do? Say, no, I cannot move, I'm depressed, or I don't feel like moving. No, they will jump out of the window, which means the price would be too high. The same thing with a person who is smoking too much. You know, I've seen many people who would come to see me to quit smoking, and I do one session with quit smoking, you know, 86% success rate. That was a study that was done many years ago on my quit smoking program. So people come and say, I have lung cancer. I have to stop now. Oh, yeah. Did you need to wait to get lung cancer to stop? And I say usually to them, I'm 100% confident that you will quit. They say, how do you know? Can you be confident? I say, well, because you don't have a choice. Anyway, let me talk to you about 12 steps to becoming free of your addiction, whether it's mental, emotional, or physical. And it's not 12 steps that you know from Alcoholic Anonymous and Narcotic Anonymous. It's 12 steps that I identified. I'm not against Alcoholic Anonymous or whatever, AA or NA. It worked out. I started thinking what a person needs to do, and I identified these 12 steps. Let me see. I will have to speak a little faster because the time is running, I see. The first step we already spoke to you about, it's to acknowledge that you're an addict. And in fact, Alcoholic Anonymous has it too, acknowledge, but they say you are powerless against your addiction. I don't believe you are powerless. That's why I encourage you to use your willpower and your commitment to overcome your addiction. So, but you acknowledge that you have a problem, that you're an addict, and you also talk to people who you trust, who are not just your friends, who will accept you as you are and lie to you and say you are just fine, but people who will tell you the truth. And with them, you decide, yes, you're an addict. That's the first step. The second one is you decide, make a decision you want to stop. If this is today, you know, after you listen to me talk, you decide, I want to stop. But like going on any journey, let's say climbing a mountain, you need three things if you decided to stop. One, you need to know the destination, and you know, stop that addiction. Two, you need to know what shape you are in. That is, assess how physically or mentally you're prepared to do it. And if you are in very bad shape, let's say physically, and you need some kind of support, you have to decide. Maybe the addiction is getting you worse, but maybe because you are not well, it will be more of an effort and you will not be able to succeed. So you have to assess where you are, what shape you are in. And the third thing you need is you need the equipment that you will use as you go up the mountain or up this on this journey. And the equipment I'm going to try to give you. In order to free yourself, to put yourself in better shape, I believe you need to do one thing, and that is to get rid of emotional toxins. I believe emotional toxicity, you know, they talk about mental toxicity, physical toxicity, the voodoo doctors, what they call functional medicine now, or they used to call it alternative medicine. They do chelation therapy for mental toxicity. But as much as mental toxicity is dangerous for our health, mental toxicity is also damaging to us. And I'm talking about hurts and guilts, or I call it accounts payable, accounts receivable. These are emotional toxins that drain your energy and make it difficult for you to let go, to move on. So I would very much suggest that what you do is you write a list of all things that you hurts that you endured, all the pain. Write a big list. As many things. We're not talking about small things like I had a fight with my sister and we made up. I'm talking about things that still make you cringe. You write a list of hurts and also you write a list of guilts. And then you feel them. You read every one of them, or of the hurts. And as you read, you say out loud, I forgive you for having done this to me. Feel it in your heart. You're not doing it for them, you're doing it to become free. And then you say, I forgive myself for being a part of it. But with the guilt, it's a little different because guilt literally means, comes from German word Schuld, then became guilt and then became guilt. Schuld is debt, you're in debt. If it is a true debt, if you hurt somebody or if you're in debt, you owe money, you have to pay the debt. If you are in debt, you hurt somebody, you have to let go of that debt by apologizing one way or another. So that you also write the list of these debts and you have to pay them one way or another. If a person is no longer alive, excuse me, and you hurt a person, you make a donation or you light a candle, find a way to pay them. And then you take these two papers and burn them. And you flush the ashes down the toilet. And then any time you think about that hurt or guilt, you for a second close your eyes and see the ashes flushing down the toilet. And that will help you, and it's been my experience, that will help you to have less emotional toxicity. Step number three. Start your day by connecting with God. And if you don't believe in God, connecting whatever you want to believe in, higher power or the infinite or just life force. And ask the universe, God, X factor, whatever you want, to assist you to go through this experience. Not through to succeed in stopping the addiction, but to go through this particular day, doing your best, not following your addiction, if you decided that you want to do it. Step four, realize why you were doing it, because it served a certain purpose. So you have to find a way to address the purpose, because it was serving something. Just like, you know, one time a person told me, "Oh, I don't really smoke. I smoke only when I, you know, I'm tired and I need the break, and I go out and smoke a cigarette." And I said, "How many cigarettes a day do you smoke?" He said, "Four or five, because I have very intense work. I'm kind of whatever system analyst on the computers, and it's very good for me to have a break." So I said, "Okay, you know, take a break. Make a commitment, because if you stop smoking and say, no, I'm not a non-smoker, I'm not going anywhere, your subconscious mind, which is now associated a cigarette with taking a break, which is very important because you sit in front of the screen all the time, the subconscious will say, give me a cigarette, because the cigarette was associated with the break. No, you give yourself a break. So think of what purpose that addiction served. Step five. Now you have to know why you're doing this step, why you decided. Remember first, what's purpose it was serving. But now you have to decide why you decided to stop the addiction. What is your purpose? What will you accomplish by doing it? Number six. Decide to deal with life honestly. Remember, I said, you know, that often the addiction is a substitute for legitimate suffering. Carl Jung said it. I repeat it. So it means you were trying to avoid, you were trying to deny something. So you have to make a decision that you will be honest now with yourself. And if there is some impulse, you will deal with that impulse rather than running away to this addiction. Because that, yes, it will numb you for a while, but nothing will change in your life. Just like medication people take, psychiatric medications. Yes, they numb their ability to feel pain, but to the degree that they stop feeling pain, they stop feeling joy. But nothing changed in their life. You get off medication, you're in the same place. So decide to deal with your life. And maybe you need support. Maybe you need someone's help to deal with life circumstances, to learn new tools. But you are choosing from now on to be honest. Seventh step. Write all this down. That is, you cannot just think it in your mind. You have to write down why you're doing it. And also create a new vision. Write down a new vision of your life. That is what you will be like, what your life will be like if or when you are 100% successful with stopping your addiction. If it's emotional, what will be life like if you stop arguing or stop your anger impulses, or what if you stop that physical addiction? Number eight, step eight. Building up your will to succeed. If you are aware that you are an addict, it means you are accustomed to failing over and over again. You want to begin to reprogram your subconscious mind for success, which means, I don't know if everyone knows what the difference between conscious and subconscious. Conscious mind is what we use right now. As you're listening to me, you're consciously aware of me. Your auditory system is conscious, part of your conscious system. You're paying attention, you're trying to understand what I'm saying or understanding. That's conscious mind. Subconscious is part of the mind that motivates our behavior. And it stores information from the past. So if you failed many times, now your subconscious is saying, basically, you're a loser. You cannot be successful. And you want to reprogram your subconscious mind. I will tell you how to do it. Try to do it quickly. I owe this technique that I developed to Michael Jordan, actually. Many years ago, I watched an interview with Michael Jordan, and he was asked, how did you learn to be such a great basketball player? You know, you even stand with your back to the hoop and you throw the ball in. You're the best. Michael said, you know, it's all because of my father. When I was a little boy, my father bought for me a ball and created from a wire a little hoop and said, Mikey, throw the ball in the hoop. And he was standing right there to catch the ball. And of course, as time passed, you know, he would go further and further away and still catch the ball. And I started throwing better. And when I was six or five, I was on the real court, started throwing the ball, but in my mind there was only one pattern, the ball going into a hoop. So when the ball sometimes would not go into a hoop, I actually would be shocked. I would immediately redo it because I knew the ball goes there. And that's when I had this aha experience. Wow, because his brain is programmed for success. So here's the technique that I came up with, and it really works very well. You take 1 week. And every single thing that you do, try to do it. Of course, you will forget sometimes, but try to do with every single thing that you know you will be successful. You say, I choose to do this. Like right now, say to yourself mentally, I choose to touch the tip of my nose with the index finger of my right hand. And now do it. Okay, you succeeded, right? And you will say, so what's the big deal? No. You succeeded. Your brain registered success. Now, when you decide to hang up or to stop listening, you say, I choose to stop listening to Peter Resnick. I choose to hang up. I choose to stand up. I choose to, anything that you, just before you do it, you say, I choose to. And after one day, you will have 200 successes. Your brain is becoming programmed. I am success. I am Mr. and Mrs. Success. So if you do it for a week, there will be thousands of times already that you succeeded with. And I am telling you, this will be the beginning. It will be after a week, you can even dare you challenge yourself and try to do something with, to do this I choose technique with something that is challenging for you. But say, I choose to do it. And you will find it's much, much easier to succeed than before. And you may need to do it for a while. There are many other tools to build your will. In fact, I hope you will give it a try. But if you find that my ideas today are useful, but you feel it's not enough for you to deal with the addiction that you have, I have on my website, drpeterresnick.com, a whole 10-hour program called Overcoming Addictions. And it's available. You can download it. So number nine step, and you have to talk to a good nutritionist. I'm talking about a good one to get nutritional support. Yeah, there is a wonderful book called Prescription for Nutritional Healing. But, okay, they tell you this is good for alcohol, overcoming cravings for alcohol. This is good for that, for good for this. But you cannot just follow it. You need to work with your physician or good nutritionist. And not all physicians or nutritionists are created equal. I tell you why. When this book, which is a good book, Prescription for Nutritional Healing, but it tells you vitamin D is good for you or vitamin C is good. But good depending on what, who said it? My sister just quoted for me, for one person, nutritional healthy food is for the other person a poison. Why? Because look, vitamin D, is it good for you? Yes, it's essential. Both vitamin D and vitamin K2 are very important for a healthy skeleton. This is because it helps for our bones to hold on to calcium, keeping them bones healthy and strong. But too much vitamin D will make you lose vitamin K. And then the opposite will happen. Your bones will begin to lose calcium. So you need to know, you need to, somebody or you to know how to read your blood work to see if you have too much vitamin D, that's not good. If you are lacking vitamin D, it's essential. Vitamin C is super important, but if you are addicted to alcohol or drugs, if very few people have too much vitamin C. In fact, a person who received a Nobel Prize for proving that, I think, Pauling, for proving that we're actually all deficient on vitamin C. What I'm saying is you need nutritional support, know what food to eat for you, for your body type. You need to find a doctor or a nutritionist who can check your blood type, do your blood work, and we recommend to you the right food for you, not in general what is good, because what's good for somebody else may not be good for you. Number 10 step, we have very few minutes, but I want to finish. You burn bridges. Make it impossible for yourself to go back. That is, if it's emotional outbursts, you tell a person, whoever is your friend or your spouse, tell them that you recognize it and you ask them, let's say, to put up a palm and show you, oops, that you are going back to your addiction. If it's a physical addiction, burn bridges. Again, call your supplier of drugs and tell him or her that you no longer want them to sell it to you. You will be surprised. I encourage people to do it, several people, and it always works because maybe suppliers are afraid that they will be turned in, but they then stop selling. 11th step, you have to do mental appraisal. That is, write a list of, first write what price you pay if you do not succeed, where you will be a year from now, 5 years from now, and 10 years from now. But don't think, just write it down, what price you will be paying if you do not succeed, if you stay with your addiction. And then write another list of what you will gain, acquire, or accomplish if you make your commitment whenever you make it, whether it's now or you set up a certain day, and you will be 100% successful, where you will be a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, how your life will be affected. And finally, 12th step, get the support system. Here, it's not a bad idea if you join AA or ONA or OA, whatever, it's Overeaters Anonymous. The only problem I have with them is that they all, label you. You have to get up and say, "Hi, I'm John. I'm an alcoholic." And that becomes your identity. From being compulsive drinker, you become compulsive non-drinker. It becomes your lifestyle. But I have to agree that of all, more than any psychotherapy, any drugs, Alcoholic Anonymous helped more. And Narcotic Anonymous helped more people to get off. It's just I wish they would alter a little bit their program, because you are a human being, not with all many facets to you, not just an alcoholic or a drug addict. So support, getting support is not only getting support from organization. Have inform all your friends and family that you made a decision, and get a sponsor from your family members. Talk to them and tell them that you want them to be on vigil and to be there for you if you need their help. I have a lot of exercises. Unfortunately, I cannot do with you mental exercises. Maybe we'll do another class. Next week we'll have Peter Bregan with us. So if you are interested, again, you can go to my website, and I have a program, Overcoming Addictions. And we are coming actually to the end of our hour today. It's amazing how fast time runs. And maybe I'm too addicted to telling you different kinds of stories. Anyway, I am looking forward still getting your feedback, whether through your calling or sending me emails. I really value it. And thank you very much for being with me today. Our hour comes to an end. And I hope to have your ear next week. And peace to all who want to be in peace and live in peace. Till next week.